Serbia arrests the most wanted suspect in the Bosnian massacres of 1995. Brazilians grow uneasy as China buys up control of more and more of the country's farmland and resources. A hedge fund manager emerges as a likely new minority owner of the cash-strapped New York Mets. And a study of treatments for cholesterol levels produces some surprising, counterintuitive results. I'm Pat Lyons with a preview of Friday's New York Times. Leaving the paper on Friday is news of the arrest of Ratko Mladic, a Bosnian Serb leader who is accused of masterminding the massacre of 8,000 Muslim men and boys in Srebrenica in 1995. He had been living, barely hidden, in Serbia all this time, protected for years by his friends in the military and by the belligerent nationalism of the former president, Slobodan Milosevic, who made Serbia a pariah state. Now the country has a pro-Western government that is eager to join the European Union, and the biggest thing standing in the way was the incomplete reckoning from the brutal violence that followed Yugoslavia's breakup. Mr. Mladic was the biggest and one of the last major war crime suspects from the Bosnian Wars who was still at large. President Boris Tadic said he would be handed over to the International Tribunal at The Hague, which is already trying Radovan Karadzic, the former Bosnian Serb leader. It was no coincidence, President Tadic said, that Serbian police arrested Mr. Mladic on the very day that a top EU diplomat was due in Belgrade to talk about Serbia's application for membership. China has become Brazil's biggest trading partner and a major investor there, to the point that the Brazilian economy can't really do without Chinese demand and Chinese capital, and that's beginning to make Brazilians very nervous. Alexei Barrionuevo writes in The Times that China has been trying to buy up vast tracts of farmland in Latin America's agricultural heartland, along with mines and oil fields and other resources, to secure supplies of raw materials for its rapidly growing economy. When the locals won't sell, the Chinese have been offering credit and assistance to step up production and then buying up the crops. Though China's actions have fed an economic boom in the country, Brazilian officials are worried that the relationship is devolving from a trade partnership into something that looks more like neocolonialism. China's imports from Brazil are almost all raw materials, while its exports to Brazil are almost all manufactured goods. For years, Brazil looked to China as an alternative to over-reliance on trade with the United States. But now, a researcher who studies the country's economic ties, Paulo Sotero, says that China exposes Brazil's vulnerabilities more than any other country in the world. The New York Mets, whose finances have been ravaged by the collapse of Bernie Madoff's billion-dollar Ponzi scheme and the team's own struggles on the field, may have found the deep-pocketed rescuer they've been looking for. David Einhorn, a wildly successful and widely admired hedge fund manager, is in exclusive talks to buy 49% of the team for $200 million. Ken Belson writes in The Times that Mr. Einhorn is known as a value investor, one who spots companies that are out of favor and selling cheap, and then makes big bets on them that often pay off hugely, both in money and in bragging rights. Mr. Einhorn, who's 42, was born in Demarest, New Jersey, but he grew up in Milwaukee, where he said he hit home runs into the backyard of Bud Selig, the former owner of the Brewers and now the commissioner of baseball. The deal he's negotiating with the Mets' current owners, Fred Wilpon and his family, would leave the Wilpons in control and would not include any of the lucrative SNY cable television channel that carries the team's games. Mr. Einhorn stressed that he would be betting his own money and not his investors on a Mets turnaround. Prison officials around the country are combating an inmate drug problem with a novel twist. Abby Goodenough and Katie Zezima write in The Times that innovative smugglers are mailing a widely abused prescription drug called Suboxone to inmates in the form of a paste that can be spread thinly on paper, disguised as children's artwork or hidden in strips under stamps, and then is licked off the paper by the inmates. Suboxone is normally used to treat addiction to opiates like heroin or powerful painkillers like oxycodone. When addicts cannot get or cannot afford those drugs, they buy Suboxone on the street instead to ward off the sickening effects of withdrawal. But some say it also delivers a high of its own, and the lickable form of the drug has opened up a new avenue for smuggling. Prison officials are fighting back by searching inmates' mail for suspicious signs, like copious amounts of crayon marks, glitter glue, or even a Father's Day card that is sent a month too early, and report that they are intercepting Suboxone-laced mail on a daily basis. The Supreme Court let stand an Arizona law that imposes stiff penalties on employers who hire illegal immigrants. Adam Liptak writes that the decision amounts to a green light for states to go well beyond federal law with measures to combat the employment of illegal workers. Business and civil liberties groups had challenged the law, saying that a 1986 federal statute precluded states from imposing any civil or criminal sanctions on employers of illegal immigrants. But that law had an exception in it for licensing regulations, and the Supreme Court said that the Arizona law qualified under that exception because the penalties it imposes include revoking companies' business licenses. The three justices who dissented from the decision objected that the majority's ruling opened the loophole far too wide by allowing it to apply to any kind of license and not just employment-related license rules. Finally, a major government study announced on Thursday may prompt major changes in the way doctors treat millions of patients with heart disease. Along with using statin drugs like Zocor or Lipitor to lower levels of LDL or bad cholesterol, doctors have widely assumed that it would be therapeutic to raise the level of HDL or good cholesterol in patients' bloodstreams. People with higher levels of HDL definitely tend to live longer and have fewer heart problems, so it made sense. But it turns out that that assumption doesn't pan out in practice. People don't seem to get any benefit from having their HDL levels raised by taking an extended-release form of niacin along with Zocor. In fact, those patients in the study did a little worse than those who took Zocor alone. Along with the bad news, though, there is some good news for patients. Many people had a hard time tolerating the doses of niacin and no longer have to put up with the flushing, the headaches, and the other side effects that it caused. And that's a preview of Friday's New York Times. For more on these and other stories, pick up a copy of the paper or visit nytimes.com. From the New York Times newsroom, I'm Pat Lyons.